If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome to the Voice Over Work podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at content marketing. How to get 12 months worth of ideas for your blog in 1 hour and start converting your audience into paying customers. Written by Elaine Magnuson. Narrated by Russell Newton. Determine your parameters. Determining the parameters of the content that you will cover in your blog is a crucial first step when it comes to creating content effectively, because without knowing what your limits are, it becomes difficult to know the direction you wish to take your content in. Failing to do so will lead to content that is all over the place and wishy-washy, traits that are sure to see readers running the other direction. Know your niche. When it comes to defining current parameters, the first thing you're going to want to do is to determine the niche you are marketing towards with your blog, if you haven't done so already. Choosing a specialized niche is a great way to help yourself stick out from the crowd, and in so doing, making your content marketing that much more profitable in the long run. It is important to do some research and choose wisely, however, as not all niches are created equal, and some are sure to be far more profitable than others. This decision requires some serious thought, as once you go through the trouble of branding your niche, it can be very difficult to change it after the fact. Assuming you already have a way to profit from your site in mind, this is likely where you'll want to start your search. When choosing a niche, it is important to find something that is specific enough to allow for easily targeted content, while not get so hyper-specialized that you cut out parts of the market that you could otherwise successfully market to. For example, if you go too broad and end up with the category of men, then you end up with content that is too generalized to appeal to anyone. While if you go too far in the other direction and target men between 30 and 32 who are homeowners, then you are likely limiting yourself unnecessarily, and thus missing out on potential customers in the process. As such, the trick is finding a happy medium when it comes to your target audience, while at the same time ensuring that the niche you have found is something that you'll be able to stick with reliably for the foreseeable future. Content marketing is a marathon, not a sprint, which means you need to be in it for the long haul if you hope to find success. Think about the long term, and if anything about your niche strikes you as unfortunate, you will likely want to try again. Once you have a specific demographic in mind, the next thing you're going to want to spend some time thinking about is the problems that the demographic faces on a regular basis. Additionally, you're going to want to consider the aspirations and desires that they have and the issues that might confront them when it comes to making their dreams a reality. Once you've done a bit of brainstorming, you'll want to make a list of potential problems that your target audience likely faces on a regular basis, as well as the types of searches they're likely to try in order to fix them. If the problems you come up with end up not returning very many results, then they likely aren't problems anyone is all that concerned with solving, which means you'll want to go back to the drawing board and start again. Finally, once you have landed on several different problems that your target audience is interested in solving, you will then need to determine if they are willing to pay to solve the problem in question, as otherwise, it won't be worth the time and effort involved to market content when it won't lead to a measurable number of sales. A great way to go about doing so is by visiting adwords.google.com and looking into the keyword planning tool. This will make it possible for you to view the overall results of search results by keyword, which will show how often the keyword was searched for a month to month to ensure you're jumping on a new trend. This is crucial, as you don't want to accidentally end up baking a niche that has already peaked in popularity, as this will lead to a decreasing user base regardless of the quality of your content. The Trend tool by Google is extremely useful in this instance, as it shows the number of times that the key phrase was used in a given month to ensure that you pick one that is only on the rise. Chapter 2. Know your target audience. While choosing a niche likely means you have a general target audience in mind, there is likely still far more you can do in order to ensure that the content you are creating is as effective as possible. One efficient way of going about doing so is by creating what are known as reader personas, which make it possible to easily segregate various parts of your target audience in such a way that you can determine things such as their behavioral motivations, purchasing patterns, life cycles, and more. In order to use your reader personas as effectively as possible, you're going to need to start gathering as much data about your users as you possibly can without being overly intrusive. First things first, this means looking back at your page views over the preceding month or so and see what types of patterns you can see. It is important to be extremely precise while going through this process, as you'll want to keep an eye out for areas where you can naturally segment your audience into mutually exclusive groups. Things like location, age, and gender are all fine starting places, but you will need to find more actionable characteristics if you want your customer personas to be as effective as possible. Questions you should ask of your users include things like, what about their lifestyle impacts their buying choices? Who makes the decision in the households my users live in? What might cause them to start using the competition instead? What are their tastes and preferences? What are their goals and dreams? What are their precise demographics? In order to answer these questions with any degree of certainty, the first thing you will need to do is determine what details you already have and which you are still in need of. Closing the gaps in your user data can be done by running a survey for new users that will make it possible to track down these details as quickly as you can realistically manage. If you still find yourself missing key demographic information, then you may find better luck making a plea on your blog to your more dedicated users or reaching out in a group email if you are able, explaining that you are trying to produce more relevant content and ask them for the information in question. The rate of success with this approach is likely going to vary depending on the level of engagement you have cultivated with your readers. It is also important to reach beyond your core audience in order for this exercise to be successful. Reach out to as many different types of users as you can. Personalize the data. One of the things that makes reader personas so useful is the fact that they can help you to keep in mind that the metrics you are looking at aren't simply numbers on a screen. They represent real people with real goals, dreams, and hopes that you will hopefully be able to capitalize on for your own profit. It will also help to expose clear buying habits, especially when it comes to details like why they might walk away from a purchase that is incomplete. This level of understanding will ultimately help make it easier to generate the type of content that your readers are looking for and will respond positively to. Improve your value judgments. Splitting the reader base at the granular level will make it far easier for you to determine how to split the focus of your content in the most beneficial way possible. As an example, if a portion of your audience is early adopters, then you can likely count on them to always buy the latest and the greatest, regardless of how much an improvement it is over last year's model. With something like this in mind, you will know that going through all of the effort that is put into these types of blog posts is ultimately going to pay off. When parsing your research, it is extremely important that you keep an eye out for groups of readers that are primed to take action in the moment, as they are likely going to be your bread and butter when it comes. Chapter 3. Work to be seen as an authority. When it comes to creating effective content, it is important to think about its effectiveness in both the short and the long term. Short-term effectiveness is going to include what has already been discussed, accurately conveying information that may or may not be directly focused on sales. Long-term effectiveness must also be considered, however, and your long-term goal should be to become seen as an authority in the niche you have chosen. In many situations, the word expert and the word authority are often used interchangeably. This is not the case with sales, however, as being an authority is everything, and being an expert is much worse than simply getting second place. In this case, an expert is someone who knows a lot about a certain niche, while an authority is the person that all of the experts agree is the first stop for information. To put it another way, authorities aren't authorities because they say they are. They are authorities because when they make declarations in regard to their niche of choice, other people listen. The benefits of being seen as an authority should be fairly self-explanatory. When you speak, other people listen. This is because those who have accepted you as an authority are going to naturally assume that you know what you're talking about when you talk about your niche. This should often translate directly into additional conversions as well, when given a little extra push. If you can reach this level of status within your authority, you'll find that you are even able to set the tone for the niche as a whole, thanks to the rabid followers who hang on your every post. Do your homework. The first step to writing content that will help you to see as though you are an authority in your niche is going to be difficult for some people and easy for others, depending on their ability to get online and do the research that being an authority in a chosen niche requires. Put another way, you need to learn enough to know what it is you're talking about in any situation you might find yourself in regarding your niche. Not to worry, this isn't something that is going to take you years to master, as it is perfectly acceptable to focus on a single aspect of your niche to the exclusion of all others. Not only does this have the benefit of ensuring that you will actually get to use the information you are learning at a point in the near future, it will also allow you to differentiate yourself from other authorities in the niche without having to actively go head-to-head with them. Once you do get to work, it is important to do more than simply becoming familiar with the Wikipedia page on the topic. It means going to the sources that you can find connected to that Wikipedia page and then tracking down their sources as well. You will then want to do this again and again and again until you can honestly say that you have left no stone unturned. It will unavoidably require lots of hard work and effort, though the results will certainly pay for themselves in the long run. While you're working your way through this process, you may also find it helpful to create a starter guide as if you were writing for someone who is completely unfamiliar with whatever part of your niche you are working on at becoming an authority in. While putting together a study guide for a topic that you are not yet terribly familiar with might seem like a poor choice, the fact of the matter is that absorbing the complicated topics you are studying and breaking them down in such a way that anyone can understand will help take the content from something you've learned to something you can easily explain, which is what you'll be spending a lot of time doing through your blog. Here, your goal should be more than simply regurgitating existing facts. You're going to also want to consider what you can bring to the discussion as well. If you find that you have opinions about the types of things they are discussing on forums devoted to the topic, then you know you are on the right track. Be aware of your voice. Finally, Chapter 4, Generating Content Ideas. Content Generation Exercise. To get your mental juices flowing, you're going to want to think back to the content baskets that you already established are relevant to your blog. From there, take the category that you feel most comfortable writing about, and then ask yourself what the reader needs to know in order to be well-versed in each category. Don't stop until you have 6 different subcategories for it. Finally, take each subcategory and don't stop there. You don't need to come up with clean copy at this point, nor should you overthink it. Just write down the first 6 ideas that come to mind. This exercise is just to show how effective a little bit of brainstorming can be when it comes to creating plenty of quality content. Above all, it is important to let your ideas flow and not waste time in the moment fine-tuning every single idea that comes into your head when all you're trying to do is come up with as many different potential ideas as possible. This is where what is known as a swipe file will especially come in handy. A swipe file is a type of file that is filled with ideas that serve to inspire you, as well as those that you would like to explore more fully at a later date. If you aren't already keeping a file like this for your blog posts ideas, then you should start ASAP. The swipe file you choose to keep can be an app, physical file, or even an email draft. The type of file doesn't matter as much as the fact that you use it on a regular basis, and it keeps all of your various thoughts organized so you can go back to them at a later point in time. To be clear, this shouldn't be a file for any and all of your stray thoughts. It should only be for those that you feel can be fleshed out to fully support your niche and your target audience on your goal towards being seen as an authority in your field. Great places to look for content ideas. Pinterest. Pinterest is an extremely popular medium that is full of unique and interesting things that its members find throughout the internet. It is especially useful for your purposes in this instance, as when you come across a pin that seems as though it could suit your purposes, you can simply pin it to your own secret board that you can then refer back to whenever you are in full-on content generate mode. Just be sure that the board you set up really is secret, as you don't want to spoil the surprise for your viewers. Facebook groups. Despite its flaws, Facebook is still the most used social network in the world, which naturally means it is going to be filled to bursting with potentially interesting content ideas. You don't have to stick to the things the people you know are posting either. You can find Facebook groups dedicated to your niche and then search them specifically through the Search This Group functionality to easily see what they are talking about at the moment, what problems they have, and what questions about the niche keep coming up time and again. BuzzSumo. This is a useful tool that can be used to search a specific domain to see what the most frequently shared content is on that site. If you turn it to the websites of your competition, then you can see what their readers are responding to most frequently so that you can put your own spin on it. It will also give you a sampling of the comments that are being left, allowing you to pick up on questions that the original content generated and ensure your version improves upon the core concept in question. Podcasts. If you haven't already started listening to podcasts associated with your niche, there is no time like the present. When you come across episodes that discuss content that you think you can put a unique spin on, be sure to check out that episode's show notes to see what additional details are included, as well as what the community's response seems to be, as that can help you find an angle for further discussion as well. Answer the people. Chapter 5, The Full Package. Now that you have an understanding of the type of content that you are looking for, as well as a general idea when it comes to how to come up with content to fill your blog with on the fly, not to mention plenty of great ideas stored in the bank. Nevertheless, you can only truly count on success if you guarantee that your content can do three things reliably: convert your readers, attract your readers, and delight your readers. Once you become adept at adding these elements to your content plan, you will find yourself with a fully functioning content strategy for your blog. Creating a voice for your brand. Regardless of the purpose of your blog, if you have your own website, then you already have your own brand, which means you need to be prepared to put in the time and effort required to ensure it prospers. A big part of this is going to be the brand voice or tone your blog posts use when you are speaking to your target audience. While you may not realize it yet, the style, tone, and words you use in your writing are going to say quite a bit about your brand, which is why it is so important to ensure that you curate the brand voice you use very carefully for the best results. It is also important to be very consistent across all of your posts with the same brand voice to avoid appearing wishy-washy and turning off readers by accident. What's worse, if you aren't careful, your brand tone might attract different segments of the population, confusing your target audience and making it difficult to focus on those who are going to be the easiest conversions. In addition to not sounding inconsistent, it is important that you don't simply copy the tone of another member of your niche whole cloth. Depending on your niche, there is likely to be some overlap, of course, especially if members of the niche typically use lots of slang or jargon. And if this is the case, then you will need to work even harder to separate yourself from the crowd using any means necessary. This does not mean that you should adopt a tone that doesn't reflect who you are personally, but only if you aren't able to keep it up indefinitely. There is nothing wrong with creating a persona to represent you on your blog, and indeed there are many benefits to doing so, especially if you don't fit into your own target audience naturally. If you're having trouble coming up with the perfect voice, there are a few different things you can do in order to get the ball rolling. Look to the past. Depending on how long you have been blogging for at this point, you may have already developed a tone for your brand without realizing it, as these things do tend to manifest themselves over time. If you have been at it a while, then you may have developed a tone for your brand that you aren't aware of because it has happened slowly, which is why you'll want to go back and look at your early work before comparing it to a more modern iteration. What you're going to want to keep an eye out for are things like stylistic flourishes and tonal shifts in the later work that was not present in the earlier example. If you're looking to build up your personal tone a little more, you can instead look back through your previous writing for examples of things that you feel came out exceptionally well and gather them all together in one place. You will then want to read through them and look for places where the tone is similar and consider why this is the case. With enough studying, you should be able to replicate what you have found. After all, you wrote it originally. Above all else, you are going to want to banish anything from your writing that feels as though it could be written by someone else. Remember, you are your own biggest selling point, which means you're going to want to do everything in your power to promote that fact as fully as possible. Look at the brand critically. The next thing you're going to want to do is to take a look at your brand as you have currently established it and determine what words someone else would use. Chapter 6. Keep your readers hooked. There are more than a billion new pieces of content posted online every single day, which means you already need to do quite a bit of work in order to break through the noise. Even when you break it down to details about your specific niche, or even subsection of your niche that you are an authority in, you can safely assume that your potential readers are being pulled in at least 100 different directions at any given time. The end result of this deluge of content is that the blog posts you create can be some of the best around, positively dripping with value, and funny to boot, and still not get the level of readership and shares that you know it deserves. In order to break past the interest barrier, you are going to need to do even more, starting with taking a closer look at the way your blog posts are structured. Improve your headlines. If you aren't putting serious thought and effort into your headlines, then you're selling yourself short right off the bat. It alone is often enough to determine if a reader is going to click or not, and will single-handedly determine if a social media share is going to yield positive results. First things first, you want a headline that is clear and to the point. If you can be funny or clever and still remain clear, think of it as a bonus, not a requirement. Your headline should also strive to be as specific as possible, as things like percentages, days, hours, minutes, and other numbers all promise something concrete in exchange for the reader's time, as well as a concrete variable to plug into the cost-benefit analysis that will be performed before any action is taken. Additionally, you should try and appeal to a particular emotion or the fear of missing out. Great emotions to aim for include happiness, a desire to be loved, anger, and fear. Finally, you are always going to want to include at least one keyword or phrase in your headline, as otherwise it will be difficult for anyone to actually find it. Check your hook. The introduction of each of your blog posts should come complete with a clear hook that gives the reader a reason to continue, despite the literal thousands of other things they could be doing with their time. One type of popular hook is the direct question. Asking your reader a direct question right off the bat forces them to engage with your content directly, improving completion rates right off the bat. The only downside is if the reader answers incorrectly for whatever reason, then you have likely lost them, which is why you want to keep your questions have predictable answers. For example, do you feel as though there aren't enough hours in the day? This question is ideal, as it takes an issue that virtually everyone experiences and allows the reader to fill in their own reasons as to why that might be the case. While your reasoning and theirs might not mesh all the way, you have already gotten them to keep reading without any false promises, which are the main goal of a good hook. Another great way to ensure that people keep reading is by including a statistic that is too shocking not to follow up on. While strictly speaking, the statistics that you come up with don't have to be true. In fact, 54% of all statistics are made up on the spot, but they do need to be difficult to verify if you're going to use a hyperbolic statistic to prove a point, as if your reader does the legwork to check and finds out you were dramatically incorrect, then their faith in you might waver. Finally, if you can create a sense of urgency in the introduction by creating a cliffhanger, then you can string the reader along throughout the blog post, doling out the promised information in small doses as time goes on. This is an especially effective way to start a series of connected blog posts, as it will dramatically increase the odds that more readers make it all the way through to the very end. For example, something like, "The secret to happiness can be found in this blog post." This has been Content Marketing, how to get 12 months worth of ideas for your blog in 1 hour and start converting your audience into paying customers. Written by Elaine Magnuson. Narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2018 by Elaine Magnuson. Production copyright 2018 by Elaine Magnuson. There are more than a billion new pieces of content posted online every single day, which means you already need to do quite a bit of work in order to break through the noise. Even when you break it down to details about your specific niche, or even subsection of your niche that you are an authority in, you can safely assume that your potential readers are being pulled in at least 100 different directions at any given time. The end result of this deluge of content is that the blog posts you create can be some of the best around, positively dripping with value, and funny to boot, and still not get the level of readership and shares that you know it deserves. In order to break past the interest barrier, you are going to need to do even more, starting with taking a closer look at the way your blog posts are structured. Improve your headlines. If you aren't putting serious thought and effort into your headlines, then you're selling yourself short right off the bat. It alone is often enough to determine if a reader is going to click or not, and will single-handedly determine if a social media share is going to yield positive results. First things first, you want a headline that is clear and to the point. If you can be funny or clever and still remain clear, think of it as a bonus, not a requirement. Your headline should also strive to be as specific as possible, as things like percentages, days, hours, minutes, and other numbers all promise something concrete in exchange for the reader's time, as well as a concrete variable to plug into the cost-benefit analysis that will be performed before any action is taken. Additionally, you should try and appeal to a particular emotion or the fear of missing out. Great emotions to aim for include happiness, a desire to be loved, anger, and fear. Finally, you are always going to want to include at least one keyword or phrase in your headline, as otherwise it will be difficult for anyone to actually find it. Check your hook. The introduction of each of your blog posts should come complete with a clear hook that gives the reader a reason to continue, despite the literal thousands of other things they could be doing with their time. One type of popular hook is the direct question. Asking your reader a direct question right off the bat forces them to engage with your content directly, improving completion rates right off the bat. The only downside is if the reader answers incorrectly for whatever reason, then you have likely lost them, which is why you want to keep your questions have predictable answers. For example, do you feel as though there aren't enough hours in the day? This question is ideal, as it takes an issue that virtually everyone experiences and allows the reader to fill in their own reasons as to why that might be the case. While your reasoning and theirs might not mesh all the way, you have already gotten them to keep reading without any false promises, which are the main goal of a good hook. Another great way to ensure that people keep reading is by including a statistic that is too shocking not to follow up on. While strictly speaking, the statistics that you come up with don't have to be true. In fact, 54% of all statistics are made up on the spot, but they do need to be difficult to verify if you're going to use a hyperbolic statistic to prove a point, as if your reader does the legwork to check and finds out you were dramatically incorrect, then their faith in you might waver. Amazon.com has more information regarding the author and this book. Show notes and further information can be found at RussellEricNewton.com. With a collection of trivia, research, news stories, and knowledge from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work Podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.